So don't they're a little slow, it looks like. They're each at a different time, as is the custom. All right. Good afternoon. This is Julie Fedorchak with the North Dakota Public Service Commission. We are gathered on the 12th floor of the State Capitol for a special meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission. I'll call this meeting to order. We do have two items on the agenda, on the regular agenda, and a couple items on the admin agenda. But before we get started, I just wanted to make a few quick comments about what a special meeting is. A special meeting isn't anything really very special. It's just what we call meetings that have to be called in the interim between our regularly scheduled meetings. And so we call them because we are required by law to be transparent in everything that we do, and the only time we can ever discuss matters is when we have an open meeting. So we regularly schedule meetings at about a two-week interval, and when important business comes up in the interim, we call what we call special meetings, and that's what this meeting is today. And so they aren't very unordinary. We do them fairly commonly and somewhat routinely around here. The one thing that's distinct about a special meeting is that you have to stick to exactly what's on the agenda, and there isn't new items added on the fly during a special meeting. And so that's what we'll do today. We have a few items on the regular agenda, and that is all the opening comments I want to make. See if Commissioner Christman would like to offer any comments.
Exciting day for our state and nation, but it goes without saying, so I won't belabor the point.
Okay, very good. Commissioner Kalk is not in the office. He's on the road today, but we do have a special little UND gnome in your place at your chair, Brian. I wanted you to know that you are not entirely absent. You've got a character here for you. I thought you would like this character being it's from UND. And then you can offer any opening comments if you'd like.
Well, first off, thank you for the setting up the stage. I appreciate that. I look forward to UND and NDSU in football. Excuse me. And I thank you, Julie, for your opening comments, because I was going to say the same thing to put some context around a special meeting. I think if it weren't for the fact that we just had a meeting last week and the fact that I'm representing the commission this week, you're out next week for NARUC, and we've got quite a delay, I think all of these items would have been held till the next regular scheduled meeting. But since we had the delay in there, and they have numerous things for scheduling and some other things we can take care of, I think it is appropriate. But I think you set the stage perfectly that this is not at all uncommon. We have numerous special meetings throughout the year.
Okay, very good. Then we will move straight to the regular agenda, and the first item is mine. I move the commission find the November 7, 2016 formal complaint filed by the North Dakota Public Service Commission advocacy staff states a prima facie case, and serve the complaint on the respondent in Dakota Access LLC Dakota Access Pipeline Project, citing application case number PU-14-842.
Second.
Thank you, Brian. So I'll just walk through this briefly. We talked about this issue at length last week. Today's motion basically states the specific issues in which the PSC staff believe they violated, the company violated our permit, and it deems that this is a prima facie case. This motion does that, and will then allow the commission to serve this complaint on the company. Prima facie case just means that it's appropriate for us to consider within our jurisdiction. It falls within our jurisdiction. So to summarize the complaint, basically there's two areas that the staff deemed the company has violated the permit, and that is one, that in item number 12 in our certification document, and item number 38. The item number 12 basically requires that the commission be given commission gives clearance to proceed to Dakota Access before beginning any route adjustment. And based on its investigation, staff determined that Dakota Access had not filed the required certifications under the North Dakota Century Code prior to beginning construction on the route adjustment. Also, based on the investigation, the staff determined that the construction of the route adjustment commenced no later than October 21st, 2018, and continued through October 25th. That's before any of this information was filed with the commission. So basically, the staff identified two violations. One, that they failed to obtain clearance to proceed from the commission prior to beginning construction on the route adjustment. And that the secondly, that they failed to file with the commission the required certifications under North Dakota Century Code prior to beginning construction on the route adjustment. So those are somewhat legalese and confusing. But so first of all, they're supposed to file information with us and let us get clearance from us to proceed. That's number one. Number two, the information that they're supposed to file with us is pretty clearly spelled out in law. And it includes basically a certification and supporting documentation affirming that the construction activities will be within the designated corridor, will not affect any known exclusion avoidance areas within the designated corridor. That the also includes a map meeting the requirements, certain specific requirements under law, identifying the designated corridor route and route adjustment. And third, that the company certifies that they'll comply with the commission's order, law, and rules designating the corridor and the route. So those are the certifications they're supposed to file with us before proceeding, and they're supposed to get clearance from us before proceeding. The staff is alleging in this complaint that they violated those two provisions of our order, and they're suggesting a $10,000 fine for failing to obtain clearance and a $5,000 fine for failing to file with the commission the required certifications. So what's the next step? The next step now is the company, this will be served on the company. The company will have 20 days to reply. That's from the date of the service plus a few days for mail. So it'll be a little bit, they have a few more days than 20 to reply. And the company can choose a number of different things. They can reply to us and say, we didn't do it for these reasons, and provide factual information of their own describing why they disagree with this complaint. They could agree to just say, fine, we'll pay the fine, and they could negotiate with the staff on a settlement of that nature and file that with us. Or they can just file and go to a hearing. And so in either case, whether we have a hearing, we'd schedule that at a later date, or if the company just agrees to come up with a fine or pay the fine or settle it with the staff, then that settlement would come to us and we can either agree with it or say no, or we could reject it. So those are the options for what happens from here on out. And with that, I think that explains everything, and I would be happy to make this motion and go to a vote.
We have a motion, a second. Is there any further discussion?
Yeah, Darrell and Julie, I guess I would just add a couple of comments. I agree completely with what Commissioner Fedorchak said in the process. I just want to highlight a couple other things that I don't know who's all in the room for media and who might be listening, but it's just one thing that, you know, the decision point today is on a prima facie determination. That's the only decision point. We've got advocacy staff that feels there's enough that the company has done something wrong. Our decision point today is in our review of the facts of the filing, do we think there's enough in there that we should investigate further? So that's really the only decision today. All the things that staff put in their filing, advocacy staff, those are things that will be fully vetted out as this case proceeds, just the way Julie explained it. And then we also will have advisory staff that the commission will have that gives us thoughts and process on this. And I would just encourage those that are listening out there, if you think back to all the damage prevention or the call before you dig cases that we've done, oftentimes the prima facie determination, we just put it on consent because the staff files something, the commission, it's way too early to make any kind of determination other than there's enough, we should look further. So today is the prima facie determination that I intend to support when the vote comes. But this thing will play itself out just the way the Commissioner Fedorchak explained. And we look at the fines that the advocacy staff has recommended. The commission has the right to decrease those to zero. If we find so, we can increase them to the max amount, or they could be dismissed. So there's many different things that can take place. So I just urge folks, when you read what the advocacy staff has filed, that is the beginning point of the discussion as this case unfolds. So other than that, I think everything's appropriate, and I look forward to supporting this motion. Oh, and before I forget, I have authorized John Amory to sign in my absence.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. But I wonder, Darrell, do we need a roll call vote on this? Because we have three, or is it fine with the way it's laid out?
That is correct, Commissioner. I will redo that again, because Commissioner Crisman will not be voting. Roll call vote, Commissioner Fedorchak.
Aye.
Commissioner Kalk.
Aye.
The motion is approved.
All right. Thank you, Darrell. We have one other item, and that is in Randy's portfolio.
And this one I expect will go a little more quickly. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for comment in Griggs County Telephone Company, Mid-Continent Communications, Interconnection Agreement, application PU-16-686.
Second.
Griggs County Telephone entered into an interconnection agreement with Mid-Continent Communications pursuant to the Telecommunications Act of 1996. The agreement sets forth terms and conditions under which Griggs will provide network interconnection services for the exchange of local traffic, number portability, and ancillary services to Mid-Continent in the Cooperstown, North Dakota exchange. The agreement was filed with the commission on November 2nd. Griggs and Mid-Continent request approval of this agreement at the earliest possible date, and certainly less than 90 days. The commission may only reject an agreement adopted by negotiation if it finds one of two things: that the agreement discriminates against a carrier that was not a party to the agreement, or number two, that the agreement is not consistent with the public interest, convenience, and necessity. And we will receive written comments on this agreement until December 13th.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay. Thank you, Randy. That concludes our regular agenda. We'll take a moment for some questions, if there are any, before we go into the admin portion of the meeting.
Julie, if I could just offer, too, if those that are asking questions, if they could make sure they have a mic and speak clearly so I can hear them as well.
Sure. And just so you know, there are two. There's Nick and there's Bo from KFYR. So those are the two members of the media here. And otherwise, it's pretty much staff and company reps.
Okay. Thank you.
Did you want to start off with the interconnection agreement questions and then go to Dakota Access? Or
well, order it in? How much time do we have? Hold on.
So if I understand this correctly, it's $10,000 a day per violation plus a $5,000 administrative fine. So would that...
No. It's $15,000 total.
$15,000 total. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But, Bo, if I could just to clarify even further, that's what the advocacy staff is recommending. The commission has all kinds of different options in there, so I think that's also part of this discussion. This is the beginning point that staff believes, but the commission has the ultimate determination on anything.
How often have you guys issued these types of fines? Is this the first time, or has this happened previously in other projects?
It's not the first time. I think there was one or two other examples in the past, but it's not real common in siting to have this kind of a fine.
And I would agree with that, the point about siting, but if you talk about other fines, the commission has levied over $100,000 fines in damage prevention in the last few years, so it's one of the many things we do with our regulatory jurisdiction.
We also have fines in the coal mining and reclamation. Those, they're called NOVs, Notice of Violations, and there's been a number of fines, you know, usually a couple each year in that area.
Since these are kind of rare in this type of thing, I guess what kind of brings it to the level of deciding on a fine? Is it something, does it have to be kind of particularly egregious or anything, or just really obvious, I guess? I guess what kind of goes into doing a fine for this kind of a thing since it's not all that common?
Well,
usually more egregious cases, or
that's what's laid out in the staff complaint. All the areas in which the company violated, the staff believes the company violated the permit, and you know, North Dakota's siting has been evolving. We've had a spell here the last few years where it's been a very brisk pace and lots of new infrastructure projects developed. We've increased our scrutiny with and our oversight through a more vigorous third-party construction inspection program. So doing that sort of thing gives us more information about what's happening on the ground and will naturally bring to light more of this type of information. And so just because it hasn't happened a lot in the past doesn't mean it won't happen, you know, in the future. I think this is just the way that the tools that we have to make sure that companies are operating to the highest possible standards and doing what they say they're going to do. And it's just another step in the evolution of the way the PSC is going to do business and look out for citizens in the state. So I don't I think that in that there's a balance of finding the appropriate levels for fines and the triggers for them. And so that's something that will be constantly evolving, just like it has in the damage prevention side of the things as well.
And if I could add to that, Commissioner, Nick, when I look at, I guess, in previous cases, not certainly this case, but, you know, I try to put things in three buckets that, you know, in the most severe category, was there a loss of life? Was there something catastrophic that happened? And I tend to put the medium bucket, how much damage occurred, you know, was there severe harm to someone or some type of infrastructure in the middle bucket, and then the lowest bucket of, you know, there was something that was procedurally done wrong, the company needs to be held accountable. But so in my previous decisions, whether it be damage prevention or other areas, I kind of put my thoughts in those three buckets. So as this case unfolds, I'll put these allegations in one of those buckets as this thing proceeds.
Have you guys had any communication with the company since you guys were initially notified? And if so, what, if anything,
no.
Have they told you?
Okay. No, but they will, like I said, have an opportunity to respond, and I expect that we'll get that information here within the appropriate number of days or sooner.
will there be any increased frequency in inspections going forward? Will there be any change in how that happens?
I don't expect so. I think our third-party inspectors are out there on a regular basis. They have their tasks. That's a contract that was set, you know, before construction even began. And so I expect that will continue. It's been working quite well, and I expect that it will continue the same way.
You know, Bo, I want to put a kudos to Commissioner Fedorchak on this, because I agree that there will be no increase on this, but it's because of her forward thinking, asking for extra dollars from the company and hiring extra inspectors, that this thing probably even came to light. So it's because of work that the chairman did prior to this, asking for more inspectors to be out there, that we're able to have these things come to light for us to deliberate on. So I think looking back, it's one of the best decisions that perhaps was made, and I appreciate Commissioner Fedorchak's forward thinking when she laid that out there, because it was her idea that we went along with, but that's why those extra inspectors were out there.
And just to provide, thank you, Brian, appreciate that, but I want to provide a little bit more context, too, in that the extra inspectors and the extra dollars to support it were really... It wasn't because there was any concern about this particular project more than any other particular project. It was just the size of this project. And in order to do the kind of job we wanted to do and get out there with the frequency that we felt was appropriate for providing proper oversight, we needed more and bigger, because it's a huge project. So that's part of... why those extra dollars were needed and why we have more inspectors out there, just because of the magnitude of the project. But we did increase the actual inspection program itself just to do really a more thorough focus on what the conditions of our permit are and to make sure that the reclamation was being done appropriately.
Do you think because they didn't disclose this information to you, is there any reason to think they have not been acting in good faith throughout this whole process?
That's a hypothetical question, and I just don't think that's appropriate. We've had inspectors out the entire time, and we haven't received this kind of information in the past. So I don't have any reason to believe that. I have no evidence whatsoever to suspect that.
When it says failed to submit required documentation, obtain required clearance from the PSC before resuming construction, how long does that process usually take? And is that usually done in, is that done privately or open meeting? Or
that's usually done by staff.
Okay.
And it happens relatively quickly. Okay. They file, and then there can be just a phone call to the company saying you've checked all the boxes. Yep, you're good to go.
That was more for my information. But
sure.
And that changes to projects are not uncommon. I think back to all the transmission lines that the commission has cited. Many times do we have something where a transmission line will request something different or have some type of notification. They tell staff. Staff lets us know, and then we make a determination. They move forward. So having changes in a major project are not uncommon. Just we need to make sure we always follow all the appropriate procedures.
And that process was a process that was examined and tweaked a couple sessions ago by the legislature to make sure that there were options for companies to use that would be available to them in a timely basis so that the construction wouldn't be held up for long periods of time with, you know, a burdensome regulatory process here. Anything else? Nope. All righty. Thank you very much. Then we will move straight.